Let's call the meeting to order and let the record reflect that it's 3:32 in the afternoon on Thursday, March 12th, 2009. We'd like to note that Senator Hollis French, Senator Joe Thomas, Senator Linda Menard, Senator Albert Kukish, and myself, Senator Olson, are here. Just like, at this time, I just want to remind everybody to turn off your cell phones. Turn off your BlackBerry, so since this meeting is being teleconferenced. The purpose of the meeting this afternoon is to take up one bill, and that's Senate Bill 127 regarding the Southeast State Forests. Everybody has that in front of them, I'm assuming. We have backslash A. This time we'll call Director Brown to come on up here. Director, if you'll present the bill and identify yourself for the record, and then present the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dean Brown. I'm the Deputy Director of Forestry, the Deputy State Forester for Department of Natural Resources. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to this bill, which is a proposal for a Southeast Alaska State Forest. And I'm sure, as all of you know, there are only two state forests in Alaska. And this, while it is a small acreage for land, is extremely important to the industry, I think, and for long-term forest management. So I'll take just a moment to review Senate Bill 127. Basically, the Department of Natural Resources manages over 156,000 acres of forest land in Southeast Alaska. Of this land, forest management is actually allowed on 49,000 acres. We've gone through very carefully with a number of entities, including the Division of Land and Water Management, Mining, and other entities, and narrowed down to basically a core proposed forest of 25,291 acres that we feel would be excellent to dedicate as a long-term land base for forest management. The advantage to having a land base dedicated is that it allows essentially the state to invest monies in those lands with the assurance that they will end up being multiple use, including forest utilization, during a long period of time. So money can go into thinning for roading. At the same time, we've seen in our other two state forests that it's greatly increased public use for hunting and fishing, for access, and is a benefit to local communities. As you've probably seen in your packet, this proposal actually is 20 separate parcels in Southeast Alaska. And it includes general use lands that are on Prince of Wales, Tuxican, Kosciuszko, Hecata, Revilla, and Gravina Islands, and a small portion on the mainland at Crittenden Creek. There's some advantages to this, actually, because it provides long-term forest availability to communities, to local smaller operations, so that the transport issues are more economic. When we're looking at, in fact, a dedicated land base for a state forest, as has rightly been pointed out, you know, slightly over 25,000 acres is not a lot of land. But I think, as we all know, the state of Alaska doesn't have a lot of land in Southeast Alaska. This is state land. It's not Tongass National Forest. It's strictly state land. And the state and Division of Forestry have been very successful in making timber sales available to the local industry, basically assisting them in tiding them over until the Tongass National Forest can get additional sales out. The state's also basically entered an agreement with Tongass to assist them in making those types of timber sales more economic. And so as such, we've got a very strong desire to have a dedicated land base to invest in, to basically say, you know, the state is here, these lands are available, they're currently already designated for forest purposes, so they've been through an extensive public process already as part of the land use plans. They had a lot of public input, and essentially what we've done is we've carefully worked with a number of entities and selected lands that have no conflicts. They are lands that basically are not ones that would be available or that land is interested in making available for settlement. So these are essentially good, solid, long-term forest lands. In addition to that, we were aware that municipal entitlements is an extremely important issue. And so the bill actually addresses that directly. So that the city and borough of Wrangell, which does encompass three parcels in the proposed state forest, basically this will not affect the amount or location of land that the Wrangell borough can select. And the boroughs have to essentially select land under statute that is vacant, unappropriated, or unreserved lands. So we made sure that there were not conflicts here and that the bill specifically addresses that within this. Within the briefing packet that you have, we do have the specific areas, both by map and by listing them, that are proposed to be part of this state forest. As I mentioned, the purpose of having a dedicated state forest is, while it's a small portion of land, I think it's critical for the state to show and maintain that land base for local economies, for future use, which is not only timber development, but it's multiple use. So you have fish and game, you have hunting, you have mining, you have all of the uses that are available. This would not, in fact, preclude any of the existing uses. When you create a state forest, there are 3 years during which you have to create a state forest plan. So that would be, in fact, an additional opportunity for the public to have specific input on these parcels. So I think that we feel that this is a good proposal, that it shows long-term commitment by the state to Southeast that will actually assist local communities and the timber industry and help plan for the long term in Southeast. So with those comments, I'm open to questions, and I'd also like to mention that we do have available online the Coastal Regional Forester Mike Curran in Ketchikan and the Ketchikan Area Forester Greg Staunton, who actually worked directly on a lot of these maps. So thank you.
Any of the members of the committee have questions of Ms. Brown? I'm sorry, Senator Menard.
Would there be any person or organized groups that would oppose this bill that you're aware of?
Senator Menard, through the chair, we're not aware of any groups that do oppose this. And in fact, we worked very hard in vetting this to ensure that the parcels of land were ones that we felt didn't have opposition or conflicts.
Okay, so those 20 parcels passed the test.
We believe so.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions, Ms. Brown? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to, so I'm clear, the basic idea here is to make more state lands available for logging. Is that right?
Senator French, through the chair, the basic idea is to make, they are currently available for logging under the area plans. The basic idea is to dedicate this land base to long-term sustainable management so that second growth thinning can occur so that we can increase the yield and production and make those lands more productive as well as maintain all of the multiple use and in fact increase it as roads go into some of these areas.
And my follow-up question would be, what is it about the current status that doesn't let you do that?
Basically, through the chair, Senator French, the current status does give us the ability to have timber sales. However, when you're looking at lands that could, in fact, go to other interests, be selected, be sold, be over a long period of time, putting significant state money into management for thinning, for roads, for improving the stands is not the most prudent use of state funds. So we feel by dedicating this land base, we then are able to say it makes sense for the state to spend money over, the next 20, 30 years, because we're talking, 60-year rotation in some cases. It makes sense to invest those monies because the state and the industry will be getting a good return back from those.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
On that point, how do you plan on them, how do you plan on state increasing their coffers by these by this state forest?
In the long term, if you have a dedicated state forest, mm-hmm. you essentially are then able to, you know, invest in thinning, increasing the yield per acre. And so when you have timber sales in there, the value that you're selling will be higher than what it would be if we were just plain doing a sale.
Because you have studies on the area.
Pardon me?
Because you have studies on the area. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. We'd have forest inventories, and we also would have essentially good ideas of the timber stands. And we're currently doing inventories. It's not completed yet. In fact, we think it'll be done this month.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your colored map, this one, the remaining land that is not designated, at least by color and the legend, the red, pink, and the blue, the remaining green, is that all federal land or could be a variety of others? You just designated only those?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, we basically designated the lands that were state lands in there. There's a lot, as well as you can tell by looking at it, a lot of the Tongass is throughout that area.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a specific one to the map, I could call upon our...
No, it's not a big thing. I was just curious if that was the total of state land and the rest was all federal, or there may be some land claim settlement land, I would think, too.
Senator Kukesh.
Just to answer your question, 600 plus 1,000 acres of that land is Native Corporation land.
600,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, both.
As you look at this smattering of, and there's kind of like red dots all over the page, how do you plan on getting to these sites? I'm assuming there's no roads out there. How do you manage a place like this where it's so sparse and so far apart?
Very good question, Senator Olson. The intent here is that certain areas, as we work with communities and with local firms, will probably have higher priority, as will the ones that, when we look at the inventories, mm-hmm. may well lend themselves to thinning very soon, as Senator Kukesh had talked about before the meeting, that there's an optimal time for some of these actions. So as far as how we manage them, some of these clearly will go into the dedicated land base, and other than having an inventory on them, we probably will not have active management on the ground mm-hmm. for some years to come. Others we will undoubtedly, based on the inventory and need for those by the industry, will probably be taking action on immediately. But I don't have the specifics on that, because clearly you know, we're also managing timber sales on, you know, on all those lands that are available, and that has a priority.
Okay. And when you talk about a long period of time that you're going to be managing, you say, can you put that in definitive numbers?
I mean, yes,
a long
sir.
Period of time, like 10 years or 100 years or
no, basically, very good question. And essentially, we need to be thinking at least in the rotation terms of tree growth, which can range from 60 in a well-managed area to 100 or more in certain other areas. So long-term, I'm imagining that we would be seeing...
It doesn't count when the chairman does it.
Well, the Lord's the only one that can turn his on when it's off.
My apologies, Senator Olson, but essentially there would be, when it goes into a state forest, we would basically be looking at, you know, longer term, meaning 60 years for immediate tree rotation, perhaps some better, perhaps some worse, depending on the locations. But we would be thinking in terms of overall, probably 100 years overall, but there would be immediate action on some of these parcels.
So in 60 years, we'd plan on all these red dots having some type of data gathered to show what kind of growth, what kind of inventory, what kind of commercial processing could be done with these there? Is that what you're saying?
Well, actually, that type of information we expect to have the first cut done on that we expect within the month.
Okay.
But most of that we would be able to have preliminary work on inventory, which is the critical part of managing those, mm-hmm. in the next year, so that we would have an idea of which areas should have priority for further inventory.
As you look at this map, and they're all over the place, I would assume that there are other landowners around there besides federal, besides the native corporations. What is their, I see an RDC letter of support here, but what are their take on the state putting these into state forests, where you're starting to go ahead and have better control, but you also have no real ability to for some of the adjacent landowners to have a lot of influence?
Very good question, Senator Olson. Essentially, we have talked to a number of entities, Mental Health Trust, Division of Lands and Mining and Water Management. There are not individuals that, for example, as you might have, were we talking about something right around the community. But at this point, the other landowners have all felt that this was a good management opportunity. We have not found any opposition to it, basically because we're talking about managing the basic resource, and any actions would have extensive public input, not only from individuals, but from adjacent landowners, which is always a key portion.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions of Ms. Brown by members of the committee? Senator Menard.
Just a compliment. I really appreciated your detailed presentation and research. Thank you.
Senator Menard, thank you.
Senator Kugish.
I just wanted to make a comment. Most of these areas that you see, Senator Olson, like for instance Edna Bay and Kaufman Cove and Thorn Bay, even Whale Pass, have extensive road systems already that have been put in by the Native corporations. They've logged most of that area already. And one of the mistakes we made, and maybe it isn't a mistake at Sea Alaska, is that we helped write the State Forest Practices Act, and we required buffer zones around all the streams and all of the water areas. And we figure we left $1 billion of wood material in the forest because we had to have the buffer zones. But that's the thing that they're going to be looking at now, is you have that's really a relatively small area. 25,000 acres is very small. By the time you put a road through it and you put the buffers in for all the streams and all of the water and the eagle nests, you probably only have half of that available for timber harvest, 12,000 acres probably. And then, of course, she's absolutely right. Once you do the inventory, you may not have good wood. You may not. I mean, the highest what wood we look for is cedar, because the overseas market is really loves the cedar. But then you get into a lot of pulp, and don't know until you do the inventory. But it's a good start, and I compliment them for at least doing this. They should have done it 10 years ago and put the entire amount in Southeast Alaska into the forest, state forest. But only 25 now, it's a good start, though. Maybe they get the rest in later.
As you look at some of the revenue forecasts from the studies that are going to go on and the ability to go and harvest from state lands, do you anticipate that's to be a pretty significant amount? Or do you know?
Senator Olson, that's a very good question. As you know, the market, both worldwide and within Alaska, hasn't been strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I would feel very comfortable saying is that putting this into a management category would increase clearly the revenue that we would be getting from these lands. How much is speculation?
Senator Kukesh.
The intent here, I understand, is to supply the local demand. That would be the pulp mills. For example, there's 23 pulp mills on the Prince of Wales Island alone, small mom-and-pop operations. There's no major pulp mill in Southeast Alaska anymore. But it's a good start, and if they could export all of their timber, then they'd make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't. This is all a state forest. It would be only for use inside the state.
But aren't these mom-and-pop operations, aren't they paying the state?
They pay for it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the pulp, it's not worth even dropping the tree and taking it out of the forest. It's not worth it.
Okay.
So if you have a lot of pulp, you're in trouble. But we did meet with the guitar people, and this is interesting. We did meet with the guitar people and the people who make the Yamaha pianos, and Sitka spruce is the top wood they use in all of guitar country for the guitars, because that is the best sounding board they found. So if you have a lot of Sitka spruce and you just cater to the music industry in America, you'd probably do very well.
Okay, any further questions, Ms. Brown? If not, online we have Greg Stoughton. Mr. Stoughton, are you on, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Is there anything you want to add to the presentation of Senate Bill 127?
I guess I'd like to emphasize a few points that most of these parcels are accessible by road on Prince of Wales. A couple off-island parcels have existing road systems in them that they are water-bound, but they have LTFs that we could move the timber through. The other thing I wanted to emphasize here was that, what this allows us to do is to invest state time and money into a piece of land that we can manipulate the product to meet the market. That's what you're doing when you thin a stand of timber. We are basically encouraging a certain kind of product, a tree, to grow on that land, a larger diameter tree, which would be more utilized by the local market. If we left the stand to do nothing other than grow on its own, then the stems would be a lot smaller. We would have more stems, and it more than likely wouldn't fit the local demand. It would be more of a fiber-based product versus a saw log product.
Any questions, Mr. Stoughton, by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for your presentation and being available this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Online, we also have Dick Milius, Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Mr. Milius, are you on, sir?
Yes, Senator, Mr. Chairman, I'm online, and I'm just here to answer any questions, particularly about either the state's land base in Southeast or the municipal entitlement provisions of the bill.
Any members of the committee have questions of Mr. Milius? Mr. Milius, I do have one question. Steve Burrell and his group, the Mining Association, have you heard from them on this forest designation?
Mr. Chairman, I have not, but the lands would still be open to mineral entry, so it would not affect the potential to stake mining claims.
Okay, what about if somebody else was to apply for new mining claims?
Mr. Chairman, that lands would still be open for staking of new mining claims, so it doesn't have any impact on potential either existing or potential mineral rights.
Are there any mines that are going on right now in POW?
On these particular lands, no, and I don't even know if there's any mining claims on these lands. There are some projects being looked at on Prince of Wales Island, like at Niblack and a few other areas for mineral development, but those are largely not on state land.
What mineral are they particularly going for?
Mr. Chairman, on case of Niblack, I'm actually not entirely sure. I could get that information for you, though.
Okay. We're going to be holding the bill, so if you could get back to us on some of that information, we'll be part of checking with the Mining Association just to make sure they're aware of what's going on as well. I'm surprised nobody's opposing it, but if nobody's opposing it, nobody's opposing it. So it sounds like a good bill. Anybody else? Any more questions, Mr. Milius, by members of the committee? Does anybody else want to testify on the bill, either in the room or online on the bill? Okay, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. If you'd like to just sum up what you've heard, and unless you'd like to say something, just sum up what you've heard, what your presentation is, and then we'll hold the bill.
I think that this bill has been put forward as a good solid land base, very small one, but it allows the state to support the forest industry while maintaining broad public use of all those lands, everything from mining to recreation to hunting and fishing. We feel that this type of commitment makes sense for long-term management of the forest resource. We have made every effort to try and make sure that any conflicts have already been discussed and taken care of, and I think that's been accomplished. So I really appreciate the knowledgeable questions from the senators on the committee, and I want to to thank you, Senator Olson, and the members of the committee for the opportunity to make this presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy at any time to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there's nothing else is supposed to come before the committee, I'll just want to announce our next meeting will be held at 3:30 on Tuesday, March 17th, 2009. With that, this meeting is adjourned.